Hi, this is Eve Miles, and you're listening to the Infamous Podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to another bonus episode of the Infamous Podcast. In this one, we are reviewing Johnny's favorite Star Trek film, Star Trek Nemesis.
Stop now.
No. But actually, no, we are going to review Star Trek Nemesis today, tonight, this week, whenever you're listening to this on demand. And because, as you know, this is the 50th anniversary of everyone's beloved Trek, and we have decided each month we're going to review one of the past films. How you doing, Johnny?
I'm doing all right.
All right. So you rewatched Nemesis last night.
Yeah.
We're recording this on Saturday morning. I woke up at 7 and I watched it because I'm a glutton. And apparently, you know, sleep isn't important or as important as Star Trek Nemesis. But anywho. All right. So.
That might be true because I. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I fell asleep in part of it, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
You think you fell asleep in part of it?
Yeah.
So, all right. So if you haven't seen Star Trek Nemesis, Trek. See, I didn't again. Trek. I always call it Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Star Trek. It was directed by Stuart Baird, who has also directed, and where'd my note go? Other movies. But no, he...
Well, he's mainly been a director of photography.
Yeah.
And that, like, you see his name on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's an editor. He's edited lots of things and all of that.
Did he direct?
He directed Executive Decision,
which
I really liked, with Kurt Russell. U.S. Marshals with Robert Downey Jr. Tommy Lee Jones, which I'm sorry, I like that one more than The Fugitive.
You can
that might be blasphemy, I know, but Robert Downey Jr. was awesome in that role, and Wesley Snipes was in it.
Yeah,
and that was back when Wesley Snipes was awesome in pretty much everything he did, no matter how crappy it was.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
I mean, he like Passenger 57. He was awesome in that. That movie.
Oh, yeah. Always bet on black.
Remember Drop Zone?
Vaguely.
With him and Gary Busey.
Yeah, vaguely.
What was the? She was
Yancy
Butler. Yeah. So that was a fun trip down memory lane there. Anyway, so Star Trek Nemesis. It was 2002. It was the last of it was basically the film that killed the Star Trek genre for 7 years, in the movie universe.
Yeah,
it didn't do so well. It had a Batman v Superman esque 37 on Rotten Tomatoes. Was not well received necessarily by fans or critics.
Well, do you know why it was not like a well received movie at that time? Don't you? It came out the same week as The Two Towers.
Right.
I remember we actually went and did double feature day where, like, that's very...
It's rare.
Very rare. So it was like we seen Two Towers and Nemesis the same day.
Okay.
And it was just one of those things where it's like, you know, I knew seeing it that this movie was going to get pummeled under just because of, you know, the juggernaut that was The Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
And I really think that affected, you know, how this movie was received.
Yeah.
If this movie would have been released like in July,
yeah,
it would have done better.
Okay. I also think it's about a 2 hour runtime and
close to it. Yeah.
They cut about a third of the film out.
Yeah.
Because it went way long and it was a lot of those character development moments where I think that's really what's missing out of the movie.
Well, and this movie, you know, and we'll talk about Insurrection next month. Insurrection was a turd. I mean, it was a turd. And this movie was supposed to be like, you know, re-energize it.
Yeah.
And because it was overhyped because they got John Logan, who had written Gladiator.
Right.
Or was one of the co-writers on Gladiator. And Brent Spiner were co-writing it.
Right.
And John Logan had come out and said he was a big fan and all this stuff. And, you know, you can see some of that in there. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I think, bad editing, some bad writing,
yeah,
too much focus on Picard and Data,
yeah,
really affected this movie.
Yeah, it was. It had a great cast though.
Oh,
like that.
I mean, besides the regular main cast,
it had Tom Hardy.
Yeah,
it had Ron Perlman. It had Dina Myers, who I like her. I mean, I just like stuff that she's been in.
Starship Troopers.
Yeah. Bryan Singer had a cameo in it.
Yeah, so. It's real fast.
And Whoopi Goldberg was back, and Will Wheaton was actually deleted from the movie.
He's in it.
Yeah, you
but
see
his
him,
scene
but,
where he
yeah,
actually
he
has a talking role. Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. There was way too much Picard and Data.
Yeah.
And it was a little too much of them just trying to be. It was like they tried to be like funny or like.
Well,
kind of like goofy at times.
The thing, where, the things near the beginning yeah. of the movie is just them bantering,
right.
and it's like it would make sense that you've been with these people for 15 yeah. years that you would have that kind of banter and that. But it went from being kind of funny to being just a straight dramatic movie,
right. And it was, but there was like no like segue. It just
no,
kinda,
just yeah.
And
Captain,
this.
Were picking up a positronic signal, and then it just went dark.
And so when they find that positronic signal, right,
yeah.
and they land the shuttlecraft on the planet, they end up parking the shuttlecraft like
miles
from where
away,
they need
yeah,
to be,
yeah.
just so they can
oh,
do
yeah,
this that's... action sequence with a dune buggy.
Ugh.
And it's like. Completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, if you wanted that, whatever, 31 minutes back,
yeah,
there's 10 you could have cut out
yeah,
right there. That,
yeah.
like, they didn't need that alien chase scene. And,
right.
You know, it would have been more interesting for them to show up and find the parts of B4
right.
all over the place.
Well, and the thing is like, and you know, it's after the movie's been out for X amount of years and that. There was things where I'm like, why didn't they make it where the Kalarans, I think they were,
yeah,
contacted Shinzon,
yeah,
to say they were here,
yeah,
to show that oh something's wrong. B4's not what they think he is.
Yeah, because I like when movies do that.
Yeah,
or in TV shows especially,
where they give
where,
you the
where the audience knows, like we
yeah.
found like in Flash, and this is a Flash spoiler if you're not up to date. Like when you found out that Jay Garrick or Teddy Sears. Who may or may not be Jay Garrick,
yeah.
is Zoom.
Yeah.
You know, before.
Right.
You know. And,
now
and,
they, yeah.
yeah
it's that thing where we knew,
up,
but
yeah.
they didn't know.
And you know, the Flash cast
right.
obviously will or will not be caught up at some point. But yeah, when we talked about this, doing this project.
Yeah.
I had made fun of this one right off the
right.
bat. Because, like, this is my least favorite of them all.
Okay.
I like Insurrection better than this one for different reasons, and we'll talk about that
yeah.
when we review that. And I do understand that that's not a good one, but for this one, I felt it's this weird mix of like overacting and underdevelopment, and Tom Hardy just made no sense to me. Like he had this gene, like so he was a clone of Picard,
right?
And he had this gene that when they met. It like he had to have a blood transfusion
well,
after so long, and
the way the
just,
Romulans
yeah.
set his system up was that he was supposed to age fast, and the aging fast gene that he had
right.
was killing him,
right?
Because you know, obviously, the Romulans just threw him to the side like a piece of garbage.
Well, and that's how he ended up on Remus,
right?
With,
well, and that's another thing is like you know, I feel like introducing the Remans was kind of a shoehorn thing.
Now, the Remans have been mentioned in the books and things like that, but I don't ever remember
yeah, they
them
weren't part
ever
of the regular
in the,
canon.
In the TV show.
Yeah.
So, because, I mean, the Romulans really didn't come into play until the next generation.
That was the thing, is like, when they talked about this movie being produced, they were like, oh, the Romulans are going to play a major role.
Right.
And the Romulans did not have a
yeah,
major role.
I mean, the Remans played a major role.
Right.
And, you know, they had set up some really interesting things with the Romulans
yeah.
on the Next Generation show. And didn't pay any of that
right,
off.
Yeah.
And,
we didn't. We could have had Denise Crosby,
right.
Sela.
Right.
You could have had Leonard Nimoy show up, which, hey, J.J. Abrams thought of it.
Yeah.
But you could have Leonard Nimoy show up as Spock.
I mean,
because
I think at this point
he was
he's
still
on
Romulus. Yeah.
So, yeah.
yeah.
Yes, we just nerded out over Leonard Nimoy living on Romulus.
Right.
What?
Yeah. but, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, there's a lot of, like, there's enough holes in this movie that you could fly a fleet of starships through. because it's just one of those things where did not anybody go back and watch an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and say, hey, we could use that point.
Yeah.
We can use that point.
You know, I think this is the problem when you get the star, one of the main stars of the movie as the writer.
Yeah.
Like he writes what he knows and he, and
Brett
he
just Spiner, wrote Data.
He knew Data. He
yeah.
knows Data well.
If you wanted you know. To do that, then just do a movie about Data.
Yeah. And they could have,
yeah.
and that could have been very, very interesting. Now, spoiler alert, Data dies.
Right.
Completely wholly unnecessary.
Right.
Now, the way he jumped over to the other ship with him and Geordi turning like the force shield off and he jumped out in front of the mangled Enterprise. Cool. Yeah. That was cool. Yeah. And it kind of made me wonder why they didn't ever use that trick other times.
Right. When we talk about the writing and we talk about the acting and all that stuff, but like the production on this, like the special effects were awesome in this movie.
Yeah. The little Romulan like jump ship thing that had the little fighter was awesome. Like I wanted to see those swarming around the Enterprise. It's like, because if you read in the books, when Romulans attack, they send those things in first, and they like kind of decimate everything, and then the big warbirds come
right.
in and kind of mop everything up. And it would have been nice to have seen that happen. And again, like, you know, I think we're bigger than average Star Trek fans because we read the books and the comics and watch the shows and the movies and that kind of stuff.
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I think they could have done more, but you're absolutely right. The makeup was awesome. The Reemans looked great.
Oh, yeah.
The Romulans looked different.
The Romulans looked different like from Vulcans they did on like the they show. Should have. You know, they have the little bit of ridge on their head.
Yep.
Now, Michael Westmore, you know, one of the best artists in the business, I would say. Jerry Goldsmith's soundtrack is like, you know, one of the best things about the movie.
Yeah.
I think it was probably his last or second to last one. He passed away not
too long after.
Not too long after.
But, like, all in all, it's fun at the parts where it's supposed to be fun.
Right.
But the parts where it's supposed to be dramatic, it dragged for me.
Yeah.
And part of that, again, was due to the writing and acting.
Yeah.
Or, as I said before, the overacting. Now.
And part of it's the direction, too. Because, I mean, you can compare this to the other two Next Gen movies, the ones that Jonathan Frakes directed.
Right.
And he, because he had been working with these people for so long, I think he had a better grasp of what they could do.
Yeah.
And, yeah, even though I think Insurrection is, like, the worst of the Next Generation movies, he still kept the cast in line.
Yeah.
And, you know, not pounding his fist on a table in line, but, you know, he knew these people well enough. And Stuart Baird came in and was not a fan of anything Star Trek. He just was there.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can tell.
He was there to set up shots and say, go.
Yeah.
I think.
And I don't know if Jonathan just didn't want to direct it again or if they decided to try somebody else because Insurrection had not done so well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. And like, it didn't say anything in the notes on Wikipedia.
I've never heard any stories about that. Yeah. So,
I mean, Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis have very... Is that how you say her last name?
Marina Sirtis.
Sirtis, sorry.
Yeah.
They had a very small part.
Yeah.
But they had a really integral part for their characters because of their connection and it's the... I can't pronounce it. Imzadi. Thank you. It's that dyslexic thing where I mix up all the letters and I can't even see it right in my head. Like entrepreneur.
You said that well enough.
Well, I can say it, but I can't spell it.
Oh, okay.
Like I just can't see the letters right. Anyway, their scene harkened back to other things.
Yeah.
And actually harkened back to a book.
The Imzadi
book, which was really good. It would have been nice to have seen like them get that bond back.
Right.
Like, even at the end, they had to get it back to break the Viceroy's, like, link.
Right.
Which, you know, she kind of did on her own.
Right.
That would have been cool if, like, they got their, like, you know, they got their groove back by together working to break that. Because I felt like that was just kind of a superfluous thing to be kind of quote-unquote scary.
Well, yeah, it was the whole
scary thing
where the beginning of it, they got married and all that's about time, you know, that had happened. And it was one of those things where by the end, it was like they just forgot that they got married.
Right. Yeah.
They really did. I mean, at least they remembered that Riker was a captain.
Right.
And gave him the extra pip on his...
Yeah, he had the extra little button there. And,
but they didn't
he was
even
off
show
to the
his
Titan.
Ship because they didn't have an idea of what...
the Titan,
yeah.
So,
well, and at the time, they didn't have a design for the Titan.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, and they probably didn't have the budget for a Titan.
Yeah.
They'd already spent it on Shinzon's ship and the two Romulan warbirds.
True. But yeah, I think it's just one of those things where this was very much a setup for something else as well. It didn't feel like a whole movie.
Right.
It was very much, we're going to throw all this story out there, good or bad.
Right.
And we're going to see kind of what sticks, and we're going to move on.
Well, it seemed like there
next.
Might have been an idea that they were going to do another movie that would have been The Resurrection of Data.
Yeah. Well, like The Search for Spock. Yeah. Where B4 would have...
B4 would have became Data, but it would have been a struggle.
Yeah.
And that, and, you know, I could have seen where they would have went with that, because Lore could have shown up and all that type of stuff. But, you know, it's just one of those things where...
Well, they could have brought, like, the eugenics characters back. Right. Like, the others soon...
Yeah.
You know,
Well, and it's just one of those things where I think that, you know, for all intents and purposes, these people had been doing this for 15 years at that point,
right,
and were pretty much like, what else are we going to do?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Ian McKellen. Patrick Stewart was ready to move on to other franchises.
Well, yeah, he'd already done X-Men, and X2 was coming out the next year, I think. Which is obviously why Bryan Singer showed up on the set.
I will say this. He is a non-aging person. He may be immortal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, someone will have to take his
There's
head
proof.
At some
There's
point.
Like pictures of him from, like, you know, 15 something or other. Yeah. So
yeah. It's just.
It's all that Strongbow.
Yeah. No kidding. So, it's. Well, and it's all the Earl Grey he drank.
Probably, for
15 years.
He was great. I honestly. Him trying to redeem himself, pretty much.
Yeah.
Shinzon was himself. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's that scene where they're talking in his conference room. And he's really, like, trying to just convince Shinzon, you can be a good person.
Yeah. You don't have to be this angry. Because, and you know, again, we heard the stories of how angry he was as a kid.
Right.
In Generations, you kind of see a little bit of the relationship he had with his family.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, you see it, like, when he goes back after he had been converted back from a Borg, when he goes back home and, you know, him and his brother, you know, hash their things out, and, you know, the episode's called Family.
Yep.
And, you know, it was just one of those things where he never felt comfortable on Earth.
Right.
And it's, you know, Shinzon proves that that personality was just, you know, in him.
Yeah.
It was just part of him. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where it just seemed like he was trying to redeem him.
And Shinzon had all the arrogance that he had as a young man. But then he also had the tactical knowledge that he has as the grown Picard that we see commanding.
Well, yeah, he
had
fought in the Dominion War.
Right.
So, you know.
But at the same time, he didn't have the experience that went along that tempered that arrogance. Because, you know, the big thing is Picard was the only freshman to win the Academy Marathon or whatever. And, you know, his first tour on the Stargazer, you know, and
well, Shinzon had never been stabbed through the heart.
Right, yeah.
He had not, you know, had that experience of almost dying that way that tempered Picard. I mean, that, you know, that's known... That's canonical. That's, you know, when he got stabbed through the heart, that's kind of what tempered him down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, meeting Jack Crusher.
Humility
Meeting Jack Crusher and Beverly.
Yeah. And
you know, and them being his best friends. Mm-hmm. And I think when Jack died on the Stargazer, it just gave him a different point of view of things that, you know, Shinzon didn't have. Shinzon didn't have friends.
He didn't have a support system.
Yeah.
What he had was handlers.
Right.
Who were, you know, We're gonna take over Romulus. We're gonna take over the Federation. We're gonna
the
expand
Riemans,
the Empire.
For all the thought, the Viceroy, Ron Perlman, was manipulating him from the time that he met him as a child.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, took advantage of him.
Yeah.
One thing I do have a complaint about is that terrible picture of Picard in the Academy.
Oh.
He had hair. That's another thing where I complain about, you know, continuity. Is he had hair, because there's flashbacks on Next Generation of him with hair.
Yeah.
And
he'll,
like,
do the thing, the bald guy thing, where he rubs his head where it once was the hair.
Yeah.
And you know that was like in you know, I mean, obviously.
Like
Patrick
he ran
Stewart
his fingers through his hair.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, like, if I ever lose my hair, you'll always see me probably doing that.
And I mean, that's, you know, Patrick Stewart's talked about that, how he, you know, lost his hair at a young age. But I'm like, in the Next Generation, there's flashbacks to him having hair at least until his, you know, mid-30s.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, just one of those things where I'm like, that's just a little technical thing, but it's still one of those things where
it takes you out of that scene. And you know, or maybe just, you know, maybe nitpicky as like an Uber fan, but like it's still something that like you have people who've worked on the show for 15 years. Like you would have thought one of them would have pointed that out. So
yeah, it's like, you know, Tom Hardy obviously had hair and had it shaved off.
Yeah.
So it's like, why didn't you just take a picture with him in that suit with his hair?
Yeah.
And that would have been fine. Instead, they thought about it afterwards, like, oh, we should show a picture of Picard in the Academy, and it's just Tom Hardy without the scar and with the bald head, and it's like...
I don't feel like Tom Hardy looked enough like him, is the other thing.
The nose.
And has he had a nose job? Like, his Tom Hardy, because his nose does not seem as big as it was, or maybe it's just because he's so young.
I think he's had it broke into since it. Yeah. Next Generation, since Nemesis. I think he's had it broke.
I mean, because he was young. He was...
Oh, yeah.
In his this teens, was like 19.
Second movie?
Yeah.
Third movie? He had done Black Hawk Down, I think, right before this.
Okay. That was a good movie.
Yeah. He's only in it for like 10 minutes or something.
I think he dies, doesn't he?
I think he's one of the ones that dies on the copter when it goes down.
Yeah. But, no, like, it was just kind of the stark comparison to how they looked at Paul Meekins.
Like, physically...
And that's what I think, too. Maybe he's just kind of grown into his face.
Physically, he's grown more. And I think, like, he's filmed a couple boxing movies. So I'm sure he's probably broke his nose at some point.
I mean, do you ever see Warrior? It's him.
No, I haven't seen him.
Him and Joel Edgerton,
right?
Oh, it is fantastic. And Frank Grillo
is in it.
And he trains Joel Edgerton. So Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton are brothers.
Yeah.
And they end up...
Yeah, it's just fun to watch this movie and then watch like Inception or Dark Knight and see
the
total
change
of the actor.
Or pull up Mad Max.
Oh yeah,
and like I mean, it's night and day. Like that Tom Hardy could never have pulled off.
Right,
you know. I mean, like it's from his years of experience, and I give a lot of credit to Christopher Nolan with Inception for what Tom Hardy's become.
Yeah,
because kind of if you watch the earlier stuff and then like.
Just watch this. You watch Nemesis and you watch Mad Max and you can just, it's night and day.
I mean, but Tom, he went on this great thing where he did all these indie films.
Yeah.
Like Bronson was fantastic.
Yeah.
Warrior was great. The things like that. The one he did with Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Was fun and you know that's kind
and that's what he's at this point like when he was in that you had no idea of what his range was
how is this guy gonna be funny
and that's the thing is like he's shown that he can do comedy, he can do drama, he can do action, and that and if they would have known that back then this movie might have been different because they would have wrote that character a little bit different
because he was petulant
and
he didn't need to be. He should have been
were waiting for him to throw himself down on the floor and just have a temper tantrum.
I thought that was going to happen a couple times, and it never did.
Well, and you know what? He's pre Kylo Ren.
Yeah,
he is. That's honestly like JJ obviously is a Star Trek fan, and it's one of those things where it's like, wait a minute, Shinzon Kylo Ren. It's like they almost are the same kind of character.
They are.
Well, yeah, if Shinzon would have had a lightsaber at one point, would have thrown a temper tantrum and sliced up part of the bridge.
God, that scene.
See, now when you go back and watch Nemesis, you're going to go, holy crap.
Or you've just ruined The Force Awakens for me.
Well, there you go.
Which comes out April 1st on DVD. Lots of great bonus features. Make sure you
pick
it up.
Did you just get paid?
No. That's I've been listening to the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Lately, okay.
And so they call that buzz marketing
where
they'll every once in a while they'll talk about a product that is not a sponsor and they'll be like buzz marketing update. Yeah. Things like
I looked at it as if we talk positive about Disney and then say something negative about Disney, they won't kill us. Snipers won't be showing up over across the street blasting.
What have
us.
We said negative about Disney?
There's been a few actually.
Yeah. I think about it. All right. So, but with this one, having watched it three times in the last couple months,
that's more than I have.
Well, because it popped up on Netflix.
Right.
So it's on Netflix. This is actually between Netflix and Amazon, and I think Hulu
all the
has
Trek
one,
movies are out
you can
there.
Watch all of them.
Yeah.
So it popped up.
You don't have to watch all of
them. No, you don't have to. But it popped up on Netflix. And we're doing this so you don't have to watch all of them.
Yeah.
It popped up on Netflix a couple months ago. And I knew we were going to review it. And I hadn't seen it in a while.
Right.
So I said, okay, I'm going to watch it. In case, you know, it's one of these things where it's only up for like a month or two.
Right, yeah.
And then we were going through our schedule for how we're going to do this. And we were going to do this a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And I watched it again.
Okay.
And then... I just woke up early this morning.
And decided to watch it again.
It's like, well, I can either go back to sleep, which I wasn't really tired because I just wasn't.
Right.
Or I could, like, have it fresh in my head while we talk about it.
Yeah, so. This is one of the more memorable Trek movies. I mean, there's enough stuff in here that's fun that it's, like, memorable enough. But it's one of those things where, you know, I don't go and watch it. It's not my first Star Trek movie to watch right away if I want to watch a Star Trek movie.
No, I think my go-to... probably the First Contact.
Yeah.
It's my go-to. To go back and rewatch.
Yeah.
And then Voyage Home.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but...
Trek 2, Trek 4.
Yeah.
Probably First Contact. Yeah.
So, if I'm going with these... Now, I'll go back to 2009 Trek. That's probably the one I'll watch the most.
Okay.
Because that's probably my favorite of them all. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Just because it's so different.
Right.
But,
yeah, this one, you know, like I said... It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, Rick Berman and I think Brandon Braga were pretty much on their way out anyways. Enterprise was petering off and...
Yeah, was Enterprise still on at this time?
I think, this was 2002, so it was in its second year.
Okay.
And but, you know, the writing was on the wall that Trek was kind of dying.
Yeah.
After this movie. And they, once they started, and once they finished this movie and didn't talk about they were going to produce another movie.
Right.
You knew that it was going away.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that time, geekdom wasn't what geekdom is now.
It was a dark time for us.
Yeah.
It really was.
Well, you know, now it's just part of the mainstream.
Yeah.
And,
you know, I really think Batman Begins is what.
Got it going.
Everything in high gear.
Iron Man and Batman Begins.
Like, Iron Man introduced the world to Iron Man.
Right. Because,
I mean, he wasn't a main tier character. Right. And this has nothing to do with
but
Star
it just,
Trek.
It got
but
the it was ball
that,
rolling.
It was that bridge from, 2002 to 2006.
Right.
You know? But yeah, it's, I don't know.
I think when I
look at these, like, because this is the one that, like, quote unquote, kind of killed the next generation movie franchise, like, I'm biased against it. But having seen it a few times here in the last couple of months, I probably have been a little unfair. And I think as we go back and watch some of the older ones, that I'm probably, you know, a little, like, biased just from, like, childhood, you know.
Well, and like I told you the other day, because you said this is the worst one, and I literally named the worst one.
True, you did.
And this is on the lower tier of that list, but you know,
I would put this in the bottom third. How about that?
Yeah.
So, you know, you did mention one, and I won't spoil
for
what you said is the worst. And then thinking about it, you're absolutely right.
Oh yeah.
So, but yeah, it's this movie franchise, and we'll wrap this up here in a minute. This movie franchise though has a spotty track record.
It literally was one of those things where every other movie was not the greatest.
Yeah.
So, like, you know.
I mean, if we've even hit that with the reboots. You
right,
know?
So yeah. If you look at Motion Picture, it wasn't that good. Two, probably the best.
Yeah.
The three,
even number ones. Are,
yeah. Three wasn't that good. Voyage Home is probably the best one. It literally has the heart of Trek.
It's the most Trek, for sure. And I think that was kind of the problem. I almost think this works better, this property. Works better as a series and told in, you know, 40-minute increments than jamming everything into two hours.
And the thing that my problem always has been, and, you know, it's been throughout all the tracks, is they don't acknowledge previous stuff.
Right.
That's why Deep Space Nine is my favorite Star Trek
because
it's one whole story.
Yeah.
You know. There's episodes of Next Generation that acknowledge stuff that happened in the past, like previous episodes. I mean, that's why First Contact's probably the best Next Gen movie, because it acknowledges the Borg and what happened to Picard and all that.
Well, and the whole, like, first getting warp drive and the Vulcans and that kind of stuff.
I mean, you know, Trek 2, because it acknowledges something that happened on the TV series, is probably like, you know.
Well, so, and I think what you've identified there is a trend.
Yeah.
Is when the, I just got all marketing on you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Is when the movie when the movie is able to recognize something from the past and pull from it.
Right.
And then either complete that story or expand on that story. Right. That's when it's successful.
Well, and that's why the novels, like, we enjoy the novels, because they acknowledge stuff that happened.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
I mean,
Enterprise novels were surprisingly
good. Well, the one that, and I don't, did you read the trilogy that I gave you, where the Borg attacked and destroyed, like, half the Federation?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that acknowledged a lot of stuff throughout the entire history
of
the 24th century tracks.
Yeah.
And it's like David Mack, the guy who writes those, he has a grasp on that universe that it's like, why don't you have him work on, like, the new TV series?
Yeah.
Or something. I mean, they got Nick Meyer, which is cool, because Nick Meyer, you know, what, he wrote 6, 4 and worked on 2. Co-wrote 2. And, I mean, he's worked on some of the best tracks.
I worry about the TV series because it's like a pay-only thing.
Yeah.
So.
Just put it out on Blu-ray and I'll pay for it. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just wait until it's on.
Yeah,
you know, somewhere where I can either buy it all at once,
or, right?
Yeah, if it has iTunes or something like that.
Yeah, this movie is good for what it is. The cameos are fun. Whoopi Goldberg, Kate Mulgrew showing up as Admiral Janeway.
Yeah, I kind of felt like that was shoehorned in, and especially because I feel like the design of the Enterprise in this one looks way too much like the Voyager.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, the design of the ship is cool, but you look at it from the interior and you're like, where do they fit everything at?
Well, we ask this question every time. It's,
Where's the bathroom?
It's like the Vengeance. How do you get around? Because it juts out and then there's like an empty spot. Like, you have to literally...
You're jogging around the saucer section.
Like, I'm thinking you would just beam everywhere.
Right.
Like, to be honest. Yeah. You know? But yeah, and like, I didn't understand, like, necessarily, like, engineering in this one and where it was, because, like, it was such a stunted neck.
Yeah.
You know, so, I don't know. It's, again, it's this is just nerd technical stuff.
Things, yeah. All right. Yeah.
So, kind of close out just your overall impressions. Like, what should people take away from this? And, like, how would you, like, I don't know, give it, like, thumbs or stars, whatever you want to do.
I mean, you know... Obviously, we're going to put a ranking thing up because I've been telling you we should put a ranking thing up since we're into, what, the third movie now?
Yeah.
So
and we'll
we should,
do this. Yeah.
What we're going to do is we're going to put a ranking thing up.
I'm going to put it in the sidebar. And
where it's going to be. We'll fill it in as we go along.
So, yeah.
You know, not the best, not the worst.
No.
Like you said, bottom third.
Bottom third.
Don't go into it with high expectations if you've never seen it.
Yeah.
If you have seen it, you know what I'm talking about.
I think if you're like me and Data is not your favorite character, you're not going to enjoy this as much. If you are more interested in the other, like probably Geordi was my favorite.
Yeah.
And then Riker.
Right.
And, you know, you barely see either one of them.
And Worf is, like, barely in it, too.
I kind of tolerate Worf. I liked Worf on Deep Space
Nine.
Well,
that was another story point. Like, they didn't acknowledge why he was
back?
On. Yeah. Because he had left Deep Space Nine and was supposed to be the Klingon ambassador to the Federation.
Yeah, so.
And it's like, okay. You know, acknowledge it in novels that aren't canonical.
Right, so. All right.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a fun movie, but it's not the best Trek movie.
Like, I think on Netflix it's 2 stars.
I told you. This is a well-produced episode of Next Generation.
Like, this would have been the episode that they put all their budget into.
Well, this would have been this would have been the cliffhanger.
Season finale, season, yeah.
So. Like, you know, Shinzon would have shown up and Picard would have recognized him, and then it would have been, like, to be continued.
That was the other thing. It didn't feel like Picard recognized him quickly enough.
Oh, like, this is the first time where I really paid attention to it and realized, like, he does, and it looks like he's about to throw up.
See, I didn't interpret it that way, but, you know,
it just looks like he's recognized him quickly enough, why the fuck am I standing across, excuse the language.
Excuse me. Great, thank you.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Romulans.
Just phaser it out.
Excuse me, Romulans, but why am I talking to myself?
Yeah, it literally is like the looking across the room at yourself and going, why am I talking to myself.
Damn, I look good.
Yeah. There you go. Man, right. I should have put that scar on my face a long time ago.
So, again, for me, bottom third, I think if we're going to give it, like, stars, probably two and a half.
Yeah, I'd say three. Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'd go higher than three. Like I said, on Netflix, it's got two right now, so I'd give it a little more than that. A movie's got to be ill-received when it's that low, because like everything on Netflix seems to have 4 stars. Like, it's the most worthless rating system ever. But yeah. All right. So Star Trek Nemesis, 2002, it's on Netflix right now. Check it out. Any last words?
No.
To go boldly.
We'll go with Insurrection next.
Oh yeah. So Insurrection is next. That'll be our April 1, and then we will go from there.
Punishment.
Anyway. Everyone have a great week. We will see you on Thursday with a new episode about something geeky, I'm sure. We'll
watch
probably talk
the
about The Walking Dead. So,
The Walking Dead.
And if you haven't had a chance to check it out yet, we did our review of Batman vs. Superman with our buddy David from Collider Video. So definitely, if you have seen it, it's pretty spoiler heavy, but definitely check it out.
All right.
Thanks. Later.